He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Lakers Insider for Lakers Daily, joined on this fine Thursday evening by Raj Chapalu. The Lakers draft is now finally and fully behind us. The Lakers drafted Bronny James at 55. They did not buy into the second round to give their scouting department another opportunity to strike gold. Honestly, Raj, I'm not going to lie. The whole purpose of the show is to avoid what is on TV currently. I texted you the link and I made the mistake of like kind of checking in on Twitter to see how things are going. And God, I was like, Raj, you got to hurry. Raj, you have to hustle. I can't keep staring at this shit. Raj, how are you holding up? I hope better than me.
I'm good. Yeah, I honestly forgot there was a debate tonight. So I was actually looking forward to watching Aces Sky, which is, I think, about to finish right now. But I just got out of the pool. Anthony, like, I know this has nothing to do with basketball, but I feel like people don't swim anymore. Like, it's 94 degrees outside, mm-hmm. and I just moved into this new, you know, housing area, and they built like four different pools with like they got TVs and all this stuff. No one in there. Like, no one's swimming. I don't understand it, but it's like so hot outside.
Wait, do you like swim laps, or do you just like lounge?
No, I just lounge in the pool. Yeah. I don't like do laps or anything, but I'm shocked.
No, like you. I've always been a water baby. I grew up in mm-hmm. water. I grew up like going to the beach, and like Aaron and I always debate whether or not people should be in the ocean. I am very pro ocean. Like, I am very like, I love.
Like, I didn't know there was the other side. I didn't know there was another side. There's like people against the ocean, like going.
Oh,
in the ocean.
Yes. Aaron says the people who like the ocean, and Aaron says that the ocean itself is white people shit, which is just perfectly Aaron, but
he lives near the beach. It doesn't.
No, I love like I grew up like body surfing, body boarding. I mm-hmm. tried doing surfing once upon a time. I just grew up around all of that stuff. Honestly, it's what like a top five thing that I miss is the ocean and being able to just drive half an hour and be in the ocean. I took my family down to the Gulf a couple mm-hmm. weekends ago, but it's a 4-hour drive to put my feet in the Gulf. It's not really an ocean. It's the Gulf.
Right.
So I miss that quite a bit. Today on the show, we are going to be talking about the draft that was. We are going to be talking about a little more about Dalton Knecht. I have some details that I found since then or since that pick that I wrote for my Substack. We also watched the Lakers draft Bronny James, and of course, the takes flew, myself included. I already, to those of you who were like trying to cancel me over that post, I muted the post. I'm not hearing any of you anymore. Like it's over. It's I stopped. I sent it. I saw what the response was when it took a negative turn. I was like, I'm out. Eject button gone. I did write a little bit more about it. Actually, you know what? That's the piece that I will put in the chat here. I did write about Bronny on my Substack. It's a free post. It is free to everyone because I just charged for the last one about the Lakers drafting Dalton Knecht. So you guys can check that out if you like. Raj and I are going to talk about Bronny and everything that kind of went into it. I guess that's a good place to start, right? I think we should just kind of dive in and see where this takes us.
Sure.
Raj, I'm going to let you offer your perspective on it first, since yours is the more popular perspective.
Sure. I don't know if it's the more popular perspective. I just look at it. First of all, I think we should congratulate Bronny for making the league, right? That's a huge accomplishment for any young guy. And, you know, they spoke to Rich Paul and he said, what does Bronny want? I think that's a question that a lot of people want answered. And Bronny's response to that was, I want to hear my name get called on draft day, right? And his response was he doesn't really care where he's drafted. But the point was that,
if you only work out for the Lakers and the Suns.
So we can get into that. But I think first and foremost, just congratulating Bronny for getting drafted. And it's a very cool, like whatever we think about the process, in my opinion, it will never happen again where a player as good as LeBron still making all NBA teams is good enough, has as much longevity to see his son get drafted on the team. I feel like Bronny was a Laker 3 months ago. And like, I don't think that's bad to say. I don't think that has to be a whole conversation on nepotism and if it's a meritocracy and all those kind of conversations. I think LeBron has earned every bit of power real estate he has. He is that good. Like he every bit of leverage that he has over the organization or whatever you think he does, he has earned every bit of that. And if he wants his son to be on the team, I think that's a totally fair thing that he can ask for in this world of the NBA, which Woj even mentioned, like there's nepotism everywhere. The Lakers are run by the Buss family, by Jeannie Buss, who got the franchise because her dad owned the team before her. That's kind of my main look at this. I see Bronny as still a talent. I think anyone who makes the league, like you don't stay in the league at all without at least earning your keep in there. And Bronny is going to have just as much support.
We lost Raj. Raj was giving the popular stance. All right. So I guess I'll filibuster with my stance and then let Roz jump back in whenever his camera, I think he's having camera issues. Nope, he's good. He is back. Raj, stop scaring me like that, man. Don't leave me up here on the stage alone. Because here's the thing. I don't think what I'm saying is all that insane. Like, I don't think what I'm saying should be all that controversial. And I haven't said it yet, so we'll see. Like, we'll see what the audience's response is whenever I say it. I feel like my stance of, hey, I would like to hear from Bronny, not from Rich Paul for Bronny, not from LeBron James for Bronny. Since he got to USC last fall till now, he hasn't spoken with media. It's not he does his social media stuff. There are plenty of videos of him looking happy, playing basketball, that stuff. But I would like an actual honest sit down with Bronny. You know, to like actually like if he, and by the way, if he says that, yeah, I love this. Of course I love this. I've put in, you know, how much you have to love it to put in the amount of work it takes to even put myself in this position. I literally almost died on a basketball court and worked my way back to it. If he says those things and means them, perfect. Fine. I'll back off. My only concern is that like, we haven't heard from him. We just don't hear from him ever.
But you will never, like, my stance on this is you will never get that answer. Like, they are, and again, this isn't a bad thing to me. Bronny has been around, obviously, his dad his whole life, and he's been around the game of basketball, the business of basketball. He's probably more media trained than any second round pick to ever exist, right? Like, he's had this type of attention on him his whole life. So, like, the answer you get, you probably aren't going to know for sure until years later or after the fact. So I think the assumption, I don't know if it's an assumption, but I think most people, again, are on, I guess, technically my side are looking at this. There's no pressure for Bronny James to play in the league. Like, he has no financial pressure. His dad obviously is well off enough to where he can probably go in any route that he wanted in life. And I'm sure once he showed or piqued an interest into basketball, then obviously he was given all the resources and the tools and the support to kind of support that dream. And to me, you'll never, like Anthony, I've seen you and others kind of bring this point up of, is this what Bronny wants? Is this the route that he would actually choose? Does he want to play with his dad? Those are answers to me that you will never actually get. You can't give him truth serum or any of that.
I don't even need truth. Just answer the question. That's it. Like, just, and I promise I will shut up. I promise. I swear to God, I will. Because, like, here's the thing. And no, like, all right, so what, Weedy Sweats, you really think he's being forced to do this? No, I don't think he's forced. But no. So I grew up in a very affluent area. I grew up in Yorba Linda, California. It is one of the richest kind of communities in the country. And in that area, there's a lot of parents who have their own successful businesses. And a lot of kids that I grew up with just had that business lined up for them whenever they finished high school. They basically just had to finish high school and you had a business. And you know, for me now, especially like having, you know, fought, scratched and clawed for every inch that I have in my current lifestyle or the lifestyle that I enjoy currently, it would have been nice to be able to like walk away from high school and just immediately have financial security and immediately have a career. But the, you know, in talking to some of my friends who stepped into that lifestyle, a lot of them felt like, yeah, I just didn't have a choice. And some of them like it. Some of them. And by the way, this isn't, I'm not assuming that Bronny doesn't like it. I'm really not, but I'm not even anti-drafting Bronny. It's a 55 pick. Who gives a fuck? And all like the nepotism stuff, like Rob has his job because of nepotism and cronyism. Like I don't like drawing the line at the sanctity of the 55, the number 55 pick, you know, where like, this is where it needs to be a meritocracy. I think that's ridiculous too. I think that's really, really stupid. I think it's really disingenuous. My only point here is that everybody seems to be looking at this from the perspective of LeBron. How this has to be so cool for LeBron. He gets to play with his son and he gets to do this. And then Lakers fans are looking at through their own prism of being a Laker fan. Of course, Lakers fans think that Bronny would like to be a Laker because they want to be a Laker. That's how, you know, of course that's how people feel. My only concern here is I really, really hope this is legitimately something that Bronny wants, because he's about to face an amount of skepticism that he hasn't to this point. And you could say he's been on everybody's radar forever. And yes, he has been, but he hasn't had to face actual media after every single game. He doesn't have to talk like he won't have to do those. And now he is going to. In the NBA, it is written in your contract that you have to meet with the media a certain amount of times. And if you don't, you get fined. And like, yeah, all right, I guess technically he can just keep racking up fine after fine after fine, and LeBron can pay it off for him because LeBron's doing just fine. But those are the only things. And like, we will learn pretty quickly if Bronny has a future in this league. We're going to know like relatively quickly what this is going to look like, because, you know, most 55th picks don't pan out. Most guys who get drafted at 55 don't stick around very long. And what's that going to be like? The Lakers drafted Jalen Huchefino last year at 17. And the word that I keep getting is that his name keeps coming up in trade talks, in part because they drafted Bronny. So you're going to trade away a first rounder at like basement level prices so that you can make sure you keep Bronny on the team. There's risk involved there. So all I'm saying is that like through all of this stuff, Bronny is going to face the scrutiny. And if he isn't actually like, if he is cool, if he isn't 100% bought into this, I think it would be really sad to open him up to the scrutiny and that vitriol, it, you know, without being 100% sure on how he feels about it going in.
Right. And that's where you hope that, you know, LeBron and him, and I'm sure they've had these conversations, right? And I don't think LeBron wouldn't build himself up to this point and then try to push his kid into this. And if you've heard LeBron talk throughout his career, like, and I think he spoke about this, Anthony, when I think someone asked him, would you let your kids play football one time? And he said, no, I would not let my kids play football. And they asked him why. And he said, because, CT. You know, I was, well, yeah, he said, well, no, I had to play because I was trying to build a future, you know, and get my family out of the financial stress, but my kids won't have that problem. So I think LeBron's very understanding in that manner. And you hope, again, like, I don't think these are answers you'll ever get the answers to. You can go ask Bronny, you know, and you talked about Bronny having to deal with media. I hope he's in South Bay for a lot of that. I think I'll be a lot nicer than the media that, you know, comes at him in normal NBA games. So, you know, I'll give him more just basketball pointed questions. But so, yeah, and I hope they slow play in that way. And again, Bronny's going to have the resources and like the time, right, and the security to build slowly, build his game slowly in a way that you just mentioned a lot of 55, you know, 55th picks don't have. Like a pick at 55 has very few chances to kind of show that they belong in the league. I think Bronny is going to get a lot more chances than those guys. And like whether that's earned or not, I mean, can kind of be debated. But the Lakers are trying to be good next year, right? And so there should be no pressure. And again, this is crazy with JJ being the first time head coach. There should be no pressure for Bronny to make the rotation or, you know, play above even the guy, you know, connect they drafted at 17th pick. Like the Lakers should have a roster that has a full rotation and Bronny can slowly play his way, you know, whether he, you know, plays on the parent team for very long. But I think next year should be a year where he's really living out his second year in college in the G League. I think that's kind of the best case scenario. And I just want to believe that this is what he wants, because you just talked about the work that it takes to get to the NBA. You don't make the NBA without being a psycho basketball lover in most cases, especially at the height Bronny's at. And I think there, and it's not like Bronny wasn't spotted to be drafted at this point either. He was, you know, kind of mocked at like the 55 through 58.
The issue there, though, is that like people were mocking him there because they were anticipating the Lakers taking him there. I don't know that it was fully about LeBron or Bronny, the basketball player, as much as it was like, this is where we're predicting or how this we're predicting is going to play out.
I believe Jonathan Givony a year ago had him kind of first round talent. He was kind of mocked to go in the first round. And obviously this was a while ago. And I believe before
the cardiac arrest,
the cardiac arrest that had happened, but he was a player that was on the trajectory. Like, If Bronny was a first-round pick, Anthony, to any other team, this is probably not a conversation at all, right? If Bronny goes in the first round to a team based on just the full basketball merit, we're not even having this conversation. So obviously, like, going to Lakers is gonna spawn this conversation. But, I don't think you'll get your answer. Like, anyone can ask Bronny, and he's obviously going to give the answer of...
Oh, probably not. No.
Right? Like, this is what I want. And so I think the assumption is Bronny's an adult, right, and can make his own decisions. And that's where I think this is kind of being celebrated, and why I see you make your face. Like, I think it's why the pushback has been so strong on people like you and others who've kind of, you know, just opened the door to the question of, hey, can we hear from the kid at all? And like, I think that's a fair question. But they're not even like Bronny didn't even do questions after any of the workouts. I don't believe
he answered. Spoke at the combine once. Okay. According to Alexis, and now that she mentions it, yeah, I do kind of recall that. I want more of it. Like G-Loading is saying that I sound like a hater. I am really, really not like hating on Bronny here. I don't hate the fact that now the nepotism thing is somewhat complicated if you want to be super nuanced about it, because like, you know, a lot of the cases that I'm seeing made is that white nepotism never gets called out. Why is it now all of a sudden black nepotism is a problem? And to which I would say, I think there's a fair point there. I think there's a somewhat fair point there. I would hope, though, that like as society progresses, like if you know, as minorities get more power elsewhere by, you know, by earning it as LeBron has, that we kind of ditch some of those faulty practices, you know? So I'm a Mexican guy, right? Mexican guys, you know, don't tend to have a whole bunch of jobs that they can hand out, you know, like I will one day be able to hand out, right? Like it's just not, you know, but because of some luck and some success that I have, I own this feed. I own the YouTube page. One day, if my kids show interest in this, I will be able to pass this off to them if I continue to maintain ownership of it. And, you know, in one sense, brown nepotism should be like, I will be proud to do it, right? Like, I'll be happy to that my children can benefit from nepotism that I didn't benefit from when I started in this industry. But on the other hand, it's like, I could do that, but it would just be a return to the same practices that ill the Lakers currently. Like I think, well, I totally understand where LeBron is coming from. And I totally understand where anybody is coming from, where they would like that opportunity to hand off or for their kids to benefit from their success. I totally understand the instinct. I feel it in myself sometimes when I have my child, when I have Avery here and she explains Lightning, I got a kick out of it. I really enjoyed it when Miles eventually is able to talk and he does the same kind of thing. I'm going to enjoy that. This is mostly just nuance, I guess, for the sake of nuance, but you know, if every time somebody, you know, takes a step forward societally and we just go right back to the same, problematic practices, then that progress is kind of wasted. And that would be the only like potential issue that I have here with it. But for the most part, especially for the Lakers, like anybody who is whining about nepotism, that LeBron James would help his son get drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers, who are the most nepotistic and cronyistic team in the sport. I think it's a lot of swings and misses on that front.
And also, like, I think, Anthony, you mention this all the time, but the NBA is also, and I think we lose sight of that, and I can lose sight of it. The NBA is an entertainment business, and I think no one understands that more than the Lakers. Like, and Rob Pelinka, at least, I think he leaned into it a little bit. You know, he spoke about the historical significance of a father playing with their son in the NBA and how the Lakers are kind of the biggest stage, and having Bronny, and Bronny on the team would kind of be able to show that with the stars in LA. I think it's good to lean into that story. I don't know why it has to be fully, like you brought up nuance. Like, I think both things can be true. Like, I think about people compare him, Anthony, to like Thanasis, right? Like in Milwaukee. Like, I think Thanasis is just not an NBA player. Like, you know, like, and so like, to me, that's a lot louder, but like, I watched Thanasis. I'm like, I don't think that guy's actually an NBA player. I don't feel that way. Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel that. I feel pretty similarly about Bronny. We can look. I think there's a path for him to become an NBA player. But okay. Right now, you can't. I don't think anybody can objectively tell me that right now the guy is definitely ready for the NBA, which is not.
Maybe he's not. Like, and he probably won't be ready this year. But I think Bronny was at least on the trajectory of a player that, you know, was in the mocks, was expected to be drafted, obviously, before his cardiac arrest. Like, he was a guy at least that was supposed to be in the league. He didn't just hand this out to some player, you know, on the side, or, you know, like, I feel like Bronny's at least a legit prospect, or this makes it work a little bit more. But even putting all that, I think it's very clear that they wanted Bronny on the Lakers. I don't know why that has to be something that's like taboo to say, or, you know, and Rich Paul has very Bob Myers breaking the news that Rich Paul telling people that he would take Bronny to Australia, and like that being a clear like report. It wasn't even Bob Myers. They made him confirm it. And Bob's like, yeah, this is what I'm hearing. This is the exact
thing.
And it
happens all the time. I don't even have a problem with that either. Like, people think that I have a problem with that. That's how Reeves got to the Lakers. That's how, like, it had like that. Those kinds of practices happen. I don't have a problem with that. The only question, and it's not even a problem right now. The only question I have is, are those people who have guided Bronny to this point comfortable with opening him up to this scrutiny this is where I think your side has a fair point, because the people who have guided him here, I would imagine, one, I know they know him better than I do. Mm-hmm. And if he has told them that he's open to all of this and he wants to keep on going with it, then they're going to keep on going with it. So like, from an outsider's perspective, which is what we all are, we have to hopefully assume those things, because it's just better practice to assume the best in people. It's not always the most productive practice, because I don't have much faith in like humanity, but I think, you know, from hoping for the best here, that I think is a fine stance to take. My only thing is, I don't know, because I haven't heard enough from Bronny to say. Right. And given that we know, like, this was just a response to him being drafted. imagine what it looks like the first time he goes, like, if he plays in his first summer league game and he goes 0-7 with, like, and by the way, would it surprise you?
No, of course not.
No.
small guards who aren't good shooters struggle in summer league. That's not a place you're gonna can't really show up.
What do you think? Do you think everybody's gonna have nice, reasonable takes if that's how that plays out? Remember how they treated Victor Wembanyama after his first game?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember how they treated Lonzo for sure. There will be a magnifying glass on Bronny for sure. But I think, like, if you look again, I've never spoken to Bronny. Hopefully I get to this season, which I'm excited about, you know, that opportunity. Hopefully that comes. But if you just look at him, he doesn't seem like a guy, I think, that's shied away from any of the attention. He does a lot of the streams online. You know, he's very outgoing and he's very much acceptance of the attention. And that doesn't mean, like, once it comes in the NBA, he won't be shocked at it. You just look at the evidence for him and he doesn't seem like a guy that's afraid of it. And he's lived through it his whole life. I think most people are assuming this because, like, there's no really other way to go about it. The other side is more in a cynical kind of state of, is LeBron and Rich Paul controlling it, right? And, like, I think that's a way to look at it, but you hope and, like, you would think that this is something that Bronny's very much told them, like, this is what I want. Like, my dad played in the league. I want to play in the league. And, you know, he went to USC, and I think he was on that trajectory before, you know, he had the cardiac arrest. And that's all we know right now. Like, do I expect Bronny to be available after summer league game for post game? I don't know. I think they're going to be very protective of him and what, like, what he's allowed, who's he allowed to talk to. But it's interesting. I think this conversation will continue to follow him. I hope, like, and I hope for the betterment of just conversation that, you know, if he goes 0-7, that's not like something that he has to, you know, sit with for weeks, or, you know, it doesn't dominate the headlines. But even if it does, I feel like he'll be ready for that. You hope they play it slow, Anthony, and he's able to work in the G League. He's not pressured to play right away. And I think that would be the best for him, but you just won't know until the season starts.
Yeah. And look, I want to be 1,000,000% clear here. I am rooting my ass off for Bronny. Because it would be great. Like, the ideal outcome to this, right, is that it turns out Bronny definitely wanted to do this, which is very much on the table. Probably the likelier reality, right? You don't put in the amount of work that it takes to be good at a sport to even have the opportunity to be considered as an NBA player, right? Because, like, even to play at USC, shit, you could walk into, like, any D3 school. And that anybody playing on that team or on that team, if they walk into a Y, they are going to fucking cook people. And it took a lot of work for them to get to that spot, right? Let alone an opportunity to play in the NBA. So the likeliest scenario here is that Bronny wanted to do this and it is showcased by the amount of work that he put to get here, right? Especially the kind of game that he plays. Being a defensive presence more than anything, right? So the ideal outcome is that he loves this. He knows what he's getting himself into. He and everybody around him are prepared for that amount of scrutiny, which, again, the likeliest outcome or the likeliest reality is that that is the case, because who is better prepared for any of this than LeBron? And that it works out and he makes the team and he's, like, a fine role player and we all move on with our lives.
The only outcome
that I'm concerned about is that he isn't 100% sure. And then he faces that scrutiny while he wasn't 100% sure going into all of this.
Right. And I think the only part of this, they definitely didn't make Bronny's life easier, right? With the process of, and again, I think there's been conflicting messaging, right? I think the messaging early was, we just want Bronny to be a normal prospect, you know, like as any other, you know, prospect would. We don't want any kind of special attention. But then they shut down workouts for everybody except Phoenix, you know, and the Lakers, which, again, like, if you want to be on this side, be on this side. Like, I don't mind. Come out, and I don't know if you can come out and say this, but come out and say, like, we want him to be a Laker. And I think that's a totally reasonable expectation that everyone thought was going to happen. But they definitely, I think the kind of strangleholding, Anthony, the process, right, of we are going to make this happen. And Rich Paul even coming out and saying, oh, yeah, I would have made the Lakers draft him at 17 if that was, you know, like kind of just very much controlling this whole process and putting their hand on it. It just doesn't seem as genuine or as much of a, you know, like a nice Disney movie story as it could have been if it wasn't just he's going to the Lakers no matter what. And everyone's like, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's what's happening here. So there was no like process. There was no, oh, these different teams are interested and the Lakers traded up to get it. Like it was none of that. It was just, you guys all stay away because he's coming to LA. It hurts the story a little bit, right? It's not as pretty. It's not as cute of like a story to package. But at least I hope like now that the draft is done, we can kind of focus on his game, which I do think there's some potential there to kind of break down and analyze in terms of his future in the league. But right now, yeah, for sure, the story is going to be dominated by, you know, him and his dad being on the same team. So I think that's why you and others have kind of created this, or not created, but I think that's why the pushback has come, because Rich Paul and Clutch, and they did their job. They got their client to the place they wanted to go. Mm-hmm. I don't really like, Anthony, the Austin Reaves comparison, like the comparison of other draft picks. Like I understand that this does happen in the league. It's just, this feels a little different. Like I just think the reasoning for it is different than like why Austin, you know, told the Pistons not to draft him or other situations. And this is a unique situation. That's fine for it to be a unique situation. Let's leave it at that. Let's, you know, keep it what it is. It's an agency and a team and a dad that wanted his son to be on this team.